For whosoever shall keep the whole law. That's how you're trying to make it into heaven. That's how you're trying to please the requirements of God. By doing all that the law says to do. Honor thy father and thy mother. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false. If you keep all that all the way, whosoever shall keep the whole law, you know what the requirement is? And offends in one point, he is guilty of all. The requirement would be absolute perfection, which would be impossible because we have a sin nature before we start choosing to sin. So that's one text, James 2:10. The other one, Galatians 3:10, says something very similar. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. So there are many benefits for us to study the commandments, but one of them is not so that in keeping the commandments we go to heaven. We have said some of the benefits are they teach us more about who God is because the commandments issue from his heart. Secondly, we learn more about how merciful God was to save us, seeing how many ways we have broken the Ten Commandments. And Christians also benefit in learning how they can be transformed more and more into what God is like. But another major power of the commandments is to cause every mouth to be stopped and all the world to be found guilty before God, as we read in Romans chapter 3. The purpose of the law is for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, so there's not a single soul here, but that we all comprehend we have offended the righteousness of God, and our only hope is the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So there are benefits, but one of the benefits is not so that by keeping the seventh commandment, we go to heaven when we die. That's not the purpose of the seventh commandment. But there are many purposes, and we're going through the commandments one by one. Today, it's number seven. So it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20, verse 14. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is God-breathed. It is capable to expose to us our own sin nature and also the mercy and hope and love and graciousness of God. Oh, Lord, that you would take the Word as it's presented today and cause it to do a work in everyone's heart. We pray for our hearts that we would have them enlightened to comprehend what is the length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ would pass us knowledge. We pray that you would cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of thy calling, what the riches of the glory of thine inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of thy power to us who believe. O Lord, make this to be a time of worship and enlightenment and decision and transformation for the glory of God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're on to the seventh commandment, which is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, adultery is a sensitive topic. It's sensitive to discuss in a church setting. We can cite Webster's definition. In common usage, adultery means the unfaithfulness of any married person to the marriage bed. And in a scriptural sense, adultery includes all manner of lewdness or unchastity. This is an umbrella commandment. This covers the whole area of sensual sin. We can cite Jesus' explanation. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's Matthew 5, 27, 28. Now, rather than dwelling on unseemly particulars in a mixed group like this, we will take a different approach for this commandment. We will study 10 virtues necessary to honor the seventh commandment. 10 virtues necessary to honor the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. What do you think? What should be on that list? What is necessary for a person to keep the seventh commandment? What would your answer be? Now we're going to list 10. And the first is this: satisfaction. What virtues are involved in not committing adultery? One virtue is satisfaction. You know what satis means? S-A-T-I-S. It's Latin for well. When we sang recently, "It is well with my soul," we're saying our soul is satisfied. Satisfaction means happy contentment. Scriptures have much to say on the topic. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Paul says, though, as a converted Christian, that he has learned how to be satisfied. So it's not in our normal sin nature to be satisfied, but by the grace of God, we can be transformed. It is doable for you and for me to be satisfied with our lot. Paul says he learned it, didn't know it instinctively, didn't know it in the flesh, but he learned as a spirit-filled Christian in whatsoever state he found himself, therewith to be content. He goes on to say, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, if anybody's known the extremes, it's Paul. Paul, who traveled up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable glories, such high, speaking to Christ personally. Then, on the other end, whipped nearly to death on several occasions, 5 times. Cain 3 times. Stoned. Oh, some tremendous beatings that he took, rejection by many. He knows how to be abased. He knows how to bow. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's Philippians 4:11 through 13. Another text, speaking of satisfaction, Psalm 16, verse 6. Look at the perspective here. The psalmist says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The boundary lines, the boundaries and the possessions which God has given each of us. He sees it as falling in pleasant places. Yea, he says, I have a goodly heritage. I am satisfied with my lot in life, the psalmist says. We read in Proverbs 5:18-19, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Satisfaction is required if we are going to be keeping the seventh commandment, not committing adultery. Number 2, you got to know how to deny yourself. Self-denial, which means dethroning one's interests. Luke 9 and verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. That's a requirement for entrance, the grace of God causing us to deny ourselves. Denying ourselves is right at the core of defining what it is to be a believer in Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Self-denial. Excuse me. We read in Galatians 5 and verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Yes, you have liberty, you can do these things, but deny the longings that you have that you might be a servant to others. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, describes mankind apart from the grace of God, not denying himself, to be as like brute beasts who just do whatever instinctual inclination they have. He calls them brute beasts, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Have you found yourself in this category You cannot cease from sin. Well, you can learn, as Paul said, not to have this any longer. You can learn to deny self. No longer having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. No, we need to be satisfied. We need to know how to deny self. And thirdly, self-awareness is required. Self-awareness. What virtues involved in not committing adultery? Self-awareness. In other words, knowing one's triggers, to put it in today's language. To know where the weakness is, what the routes are of temptation. To understand yourself enough to not go there, not think on this, don't look at that. Make the right choices so that you don't find yourself going down the wrong road. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Proverbs 6, 27 and 28. You know what can happen. Make the right choices, in other words. Be aware of who you are, what your weaknesses are, what the routes have been for sin in the past. And be serious about being virtuous, that you make the right choices, that you not be falling into sin. We read in the book of Proverbs a strange woman saying, "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love." Proverbs 7, 16 through 18. This person knows the means of breaking down a person's resistance. This person knows that there are routes of temptation. We must be aware, what is your weakness? What is it that can incline you to go the wrong direction? Be self-aware. We're told in Romans 13, 14, "Then put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." We read in Proverbs 4, 15, one of the many fourfold warnings in this area. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. If there's a website, if there's a certain music, if there's a certain location in the city, there's certain people to be around. Whatever is the weakness, care enough about living a virtuous life that you are self-aware of your problem and you stay away from the problem areas. Number four, submission. Submission is involved in not committing adultery, which means yielding to another. We read in James 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." What is the key to resisting the devil so that he flees from us? Exercising submission. Placing ourselves under the authority of God. Doing what is the will of God. Denying self, bowing before his throne. And that also before other believers. Ephesians 5:21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Number five. If we're going to commit adultery fewer and fewer times, find victory in this area, we must have the virtue of sanctification. And that means seeing all things, seeing all people, seeing all souls, seeing all the will of God as sacred. We read in 1 Thessalonians, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. Note, this is a charge to everyone. Everyone here who is a believer, he wants every one of you to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. We also read, "Free fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6, 18, 19. And we read in Hebrews 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled." So you can be enjoying all the benefits of marriage and still be sanctified, still not committing adultery. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, the verse goes on to say, will be judged. Number six, separation, which means getting away from evil. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Revelation 18:4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And 2 Corinthians 2:19, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Evil is so accessible. It's just a click away. It's just seconds away. And it is so multitudinous and so tempting and so well developed. If we're going to be serious about the things of God, we must depart from those things which could defile us. You must make that decision, friends. If we're going to be a people where the glowing light of Christ shines through us, it must be because we live a virtuous life in reality and in private by the grace of God. And so we are told, let everyone who wants to have a serious impact for God, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We read in 2 Timothy 2:2, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Number seven, if we are going to be empowered not to commit adultery, we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Spirit empowerment, winning in God's strength. We read in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Be not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled with the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22, 23. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and the crowning one, self-control, temperance, to learn to control self, to rein in, to know how to have victory in this area. Let not sin therefore reign in your body, in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, Romans 6:12. So if sin is reigning in our body, we're allowing it to, because as believers we have been given the grace and the means by which we can find victory. I can tell you that can be so encouraging for the rest of the people here. We're supposed to consider one another, how to provoke unto love and to good works. You find victory in this area, and it'll manifest itself, I believe, in your spirit and in your countenance. Others will see and ask a reason of the hope that is in you, and you have a ministry. So private victory leads to public ministry. Number eight, sobriety. What impact have these recent weather days had on you? You step outside and 103 degrees smacks you in the face. It's something, isn't it, how hot it can get. And I know there are people here who have been in much hotter conditions. Some here have been in Afghanistan where they say 120, 130. I've heard 140. It's just absolutely remarkable how hot things can get. But when I step out this last week and feel that heat, my first thought is hell. My first thought, what is it like in hell? We read in Luke about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man lifts up his eye after he passed away, and he finds himself in torments in hell. Part of that torment, a good portion of it, is the great heat. Now, we who are aware of the terrible future, as mentioned in Sunday school, and this is just rumor, we never know, it's all in the Lord's providence, but the word through the military context that we have, the buzz everywhere is we're right on the precipice of World War III. There are a number of reasons why that could be the case. And we know rumors, and we should always be ready, and maybe soon, it may not be soon. But we who are cognizant of every soul being eternal, either reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, or yet separated from God, will find himself in the devil's hell forever. We who are aware of the stakes of what's going on in life, should be a people who are sober, not goofy, not caught up in the silliness and shallowness of this age. And so the mark of a person serious about finding victory in life and have it as a testimony is sobriety, which means seriously getting it together. We read in 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Get some self-control in your thought life. Don't be influenced by that comedian or by that television show or these people who have no interest or no understanding of God. Have your mind shaped by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God, and it will bring you to sobriety, serious perspective on life. Over and over we are told this, given this charge of being sober. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Titus 2:4, "Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Titus 2:6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." What's the requirement of leadership in a church? 1 Peter Timothy 3:2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior." 1 Timothy 3:11, "So also their wives must be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." Oh, if there's a serious concern and burden on your heart because you're aware, your eyes are seeing what those in this world do not see, it's going to show itself in a sobriety that is a testimony. And it is we who are sober who should especially labor to find victory from committing this heinous sin of adultery. Number 9, sincerity. Sincerity. Truly wanting godliness. Do you want it enough to do whatever is necessary to achieve it? Truly wanting godliness. We read in Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Serve him in sincerity. I expect you've heard the origin of that word. The C-E-R comes from the Latin word for wax. The sin means without. Without wax, if a jar, let's say, was cast and it broke, a person might try to patch it together with some wax and then cover it up. But when it was exposed to heat, then the wax would melt again. And so something that's sincere means it has no wax. It's not a false representation. It's not a fake. The real deal. God says to you and me, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth, the real deal. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians 1:12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." Philippians 1:10, "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Are you sincere? David says, "I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart." Not to be a change from way I am publicly, way I am privately. We must labor to that end because we must be sincere if we're going to find victory in this important area. And number 10, steadfastness, which means keeping on, keeping on. You don't find this victory in a day and have no more battles to fight. Just keep on. I don't care what the age, what the marital status, or all the other considerations, this commandment applies to us all. And we must be vigilant. We must be sober. We must be alert. And we must keep on keeping on. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That would be 1 Corinthians from the end of chapter 15. Isaiah 57, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The people were were intimidated and frightened as they saw the countenance of Jesus, that his face was set like a flint. Flint is an arrowhead, and the colloquialism, when you're shot from a bow and you're aiming this direction and your face is as a flint, nothing's going to stop you. You are determined. You will not fall short. You will labor and keep on keeping on. As David says in Psalm 57 and verse 7, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. So friends, God has commanded us. And know that it is a command. There are only 10 commands. I know there are all sorts of more laws and so on that are applicable in our lives. But when you have it boiled down in essence, there are only 10 commandments, and one of them is this. One of 10. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God has commanded us, not suggested, but commanded us not to do it. Not in thought. Not in word. Not in deed. Here in review are 10 virtues that will help us to be more faithful to this standard. Satisfaction. Self-denial. Self-awareness. Submission. Sanctification. Separation. Spirit empowerment. Sobriety. Sincerity. And steadfastness. We'll end by reminding ourselves of those definitions of those 10. Happy contentment. Dethroning my interests. Knowing my triggers. Yielding to another. Seeing all as sacred. Getting away from evil. Winning in God's strength. Seriously getting it together. Truly wanting godliness. Keeping on, keeping on. You want to know what is God's will? It is this, that every person know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Because the charge is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen? Are you with me? May we pray. Our Father, we understand that ultimately all virtues are one. We understand ultimately all commandments are fulfilled in this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and all thy strength. And the second, like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. All these things, Lord, we can accomplish by the grace of God. We pray, first of all, for those who know now they are guilty of committing adultery in thought, in word, perhaps even in deed, and are looking for forgiveness. May we all be directed to the cross, where we understand all our iniquity was laid upon him, the substitute, the sinless substitute. All of our sins were placed upon him and were judged in him. And if all of us will look to him, we understand that if we look to him in faith as a substitute and receive him as our substitute, as our Savior from the penalty of our guilt and our sin, that we can have all our sins that we've ever are or will commit, all of them washed away in that forever, and God can make us whiter than snow. Oh Lord, impress that upon us deeply and lead us to the cross where there's full forgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that there would be a rebuke to our hearts if we are saved but have gotten cavalier and careless and not careful, and justifying or excusing or whatever might be our way of rationalizing an imperfect life. Let us not be satisfied with anything less than the character of Christ. Oh, Lord, give us grace that we long for purity because we long for fellowship with thee. And we understand that he who has Jesus said, my commandments and keep them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved to my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh Lord, young men here, young ladies who are here, those who are married, those who are not married yet, older people, all of us, all the way from beginning to end, there's a place for each one of us to take this as a mission today in sobriety with steadfastness, that by the grace of God, we purpose to honor the Lord and this, the seventh commandment. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.